committee of this new session, which will be our organizational committee meeting. We have, I think, about 9/10 of our quorum established, so we're going to start as a subcommittee. We're going to have the legislative analysts give us a review of the committee's responsibilities and mission in just a moment. But until we get there, in fact, while we establish the quorum, why don't we ask Mr. Taylor to join us and we'll get to the meat of it and then pass our rules and get on with our day. Welcome, Mr. Taylor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and members. I'm going to be very brief. I first of all, I just want to make sure it's clear to you all that the staff of the legislative analysts works for the JLBC. We are your staff. And I know many of you have worked with various members of the office, and you know how good they are. But I just want you to know how fortunate I feel to have such a talented group of people in the office. They're also very dedicated to the institution of the legislative branch and preserving your rights, responsibilities, prerogatives. And that's really what the JLBC is really about. Your major role is in reviewing so-called notification letters. And there's a short piece in the back of your handout, and I'm not going to really go over it, but just to summarize, after the budget is passed, clearly there are changes that have to occur during the year. They're typically smaller technical changes, but what you have done is in a very limited way delegated some authority to the executive branch to allow them to make some changes in expenditures, move dollars around. You've provided contingent appropriation authority in the budget, and then they can use that if they tell you how they're going to spend these monies. But what they typically have to do is, before they make those changes or spend that money, they have to send you a letter. And that's what you'll typically hear about. It's a 30-day JLBC review or 20-day JLBC review. And what that does is give you an opportunity, both houses, both parties, all the members representing the legislature, a chance to raise any concerns that you might have with what the executive branch is proposing. Now, my office has typically taken a lead role in reviewing those, but your staff also see them, and they're available to raise concerns from anybody. And then Ms. Collins is kind of the facilitator in trying to resolve any issues that are raised. But ultimately, the chair, on behalf of the committee, will sometimes send a letter to the executive branch saying, you know, we don't want you to do that. And there's been historically an understanding that if the JLBC raises a concern, the administration will not proceed with their proposal. Now, just let me give you just one quick example. You will appropriate most federal funds that are received from the federal government in the Budget Act. However, you may hear after the budget's enacted that the feds give you more money than you thought. So the administration will send a letter saying this is how they propose to spend that additional money. Most of the time, there's not really any concerns about it. It's pretty technical. You've allocated the funds in a certain way. The additional monies would go out in the same way. We don't see any issues that need to be raised. However, we do look out for certain things. Number one, is the administration, does it really need to make this change right now? We really like to do two things. We want decisions to be made during the regular budget process. That is what you're going right now for the 13-14 year. We want you to have lots of time to consider those decisions, to consider other spending that you may be doing in other programs or other departments. Because what happens is the department may have had months to consider these additional funds. The Department of Finance may have had several weeks to consider it. By the time you get it, you have a couple of weeks to think about how to spend it. And so what we like to do is to either push decisions earlier to right now for the coming fiscal year, or to push them ahead to the next fiscal year where you have more time to consider the proposal. So we look at that on the timing issue. Do you really have to make this decision right now? We also look very closely as, is the proposal in any way inconsistent with a policy that you've already adopted, a strategy that you've adopted in the Budget Act that was already passed? If it's at all at odds with it, we will raise that point. Because again, even if we think as staff it's a reasonable idea, it's a good idea, that's really not what's important. Do you think it's the way the money should be spent. But finally, we'll look at just a reasonableness test. Is this something that the administration's proposed, that if it meets all of these other criteria, is it reasonable, and can we proceed without any sort of, you know, violation of legislative policy or control? So those are the things we look at, and I know your staffs will look at similar things or other issues. But it is really an institutional perspective that you have vis-a-vis the executive branch. I know there's lots of issues that become partisan, but we really think this is an institutional role that the JLBC plays, and it's a very important one. But with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. We're going to establish our quorum now, so if we could please call the roll.
Leno.
Here.
De Leon. Emerson.
Here.
Fuller.
Here.
Padilla. Roth. Walters.
Here.
Wolk.
Here.
Blumenfield.
Here.
Chavez.
Here.
Chesbro.
Here.
Gatto. Burrell.
Here.
Harkey.
Here.
Jones Sawyer.
Here.
Mitchell.
Here.
Five senators, two. Seven assembly members.
Our quorum requiring a minimum of five members of each house. Our quorum is established. Thank you for the thorough review of the work of a committee which is probably the least known of all of our legislative committees. And this is not something I get to say very often, but Mr. Taylor has overlooked one small aspect of our committee's abilities and responsibilities, and that is to appoint and prescribe the duties of the legislative analyst. And it was in the great wisdom of our predecessors that Mr. Taylor was appointed by this committee. So we're very glad to have you. And committee members?
Thanks for the reminder.
Yes, of course. Do we have any questions for Mr. Taylor?
I do have a question.
Sure. Senator Wolk.
Thank you. And Mr. Taylor, it's not so much a question as a comment and a request. And it has to do with the process on review of notification letters. This is my second stint on the committee, and there was some concern on my part in the last session about the scope of the suggested information that was in the letter and the notification to the committee. And it had to do with the Stockton facility, the Stockton Mental Health facility. I would really urge that copies of the analysis are sent to the members as per the process, and if the chair intends to respond in a way that will delay a significant project and there are serious concerns, that the member be, the members here, but also the member who is affected be notified. I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
Certainly.
Great. And as Mr. Taylor has described our duties and responsibilities, this committee is not so much chair-driven as chair-administered. There are a lot of letters that come across my desk, which I'm able to handle on behalf of the committee. But just so you have a sense of the security of the process, that before staff puts any recommendation before me, the legislative analyst has weighed in on the situation, leadership of both houses, leadership of both caucuses in both houses. Everyone is surveyed on the proposed request or possible action that I will take on behalf of the committee. So it's a very thorough process, and I also want to recognize the work of our staff, Peggy Collins, who orchestrates and coordinates all of these different opinions so that we can move forward, and it's almost without exception with the unanimous agreement as to what our action for the committee should be. So we have two pieces of business that we need to take care of today. First is the adoption of the rules. There are no changes in the rules from the past session. And if I could have a
move
motion and a second.
Second.
Moved by Assemblyman Chesbro and seconded by Assemblyman Blumenfield. And call the roll, please.
Leno.
Aye.
De Leon. Emerson.
Aye.
Fuller.
Aye.
Padilla. Roth. Walters.
Aye.
Wolk.
Aye.
Blumenfield.
Aye.
Chavez.
Aye.
Chesbro.
Aye.
Gatto. Gorel.
Aye.
Harkey.
Aye.
Jones Sawyer.
Aye.
Mitchell.
Aye.
5-7.
So the rules are adopted, and then the second and last bit of business before us today is the election of the chair and vice chair of the committee. Longstanding tradition in the legislature is that the chair of the Senate Budget Committee serves as the chair of the JLBC, and the chair of the budget, of the Assembly Budget Committee serves as the vice chair of the JLBC. So we have a motion by Senator Emerson and a second by Assemblywoman Harkey. If there's no debate, we will call the roll, please.
Leno.
Aye.
De Leon. Emerson.
Aye.
Fuller.
Aye.
Padilla. Roth. Walters.
Aye.
Wolk.
Aye.
Blumenfield.
Aye.
Chavez.
Aye.
Chesbrough.
Aye.
Gatto. Gurrell.
Aye.
Harkey.
Aye.
Jones Sawyer.
Aye.
Mitchell.
Aye.
5-7.
Motion passes. And do we have any public comment here today? If not, I think all of these many good people are awaiting some subsequent business in this room as soon as we get out. So without delay, our business is concluded. Thank you, members, for being here. We stand adjourned.